Actually, I think this is a good time to start the meeting then, isn't it? It is 5:30, so I am going to call the meeting to order. This is Trustee Cam Galindo speaking. As Chair of Policy Committee, it is Wednesday, May 20th, 5:30. Now, I'm going to start with a roll call just to identify the committee members and the trustees that are a part of the meeting and any staff members that are joining us tonight as well. When I call your names, acknowledge yourself so that I know that you're here. I have Trustee Buck.
I am present.
Thank you. Trustee Danko.
Present.
And I have Trustee Miller.
Present. Thank you.
Very good. Are there any non-committee members in this meeting as well joining us tonight? That would be a call for any other trustees or student trustees on the line. Hearing none, I'm going to move over to staff. I understand that Associate Director Peter Sovereign is on the line, correct?
I'm here. Yep.
I also believe that we have Tracy McKillop on the line, who is taking minutes for us. And I guess Mark Taylor from Communications is also on the line, is my understanding. Is that correct, Peter?
I would ask if Mark is on the line.
This is Mark. I am here.
Hey, Mark.
Very good. And I heard Tracy speak earlier, so I know Tracy's on the line taking our minutes. Thank you, everyone. I am going to go over the virtual meeting norms so that we're all on the same page. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and will be posted for the public on our website. All callers are to place themselves on mute until called upon. Roll call is in place for attendance and for questions. When called upon for questions, if you have no questions, that's okay. We just need to hear you say pass or none of the above, or none at this time, rather. We don't want to assume that you don't have any questions if we can't hear you, because you might still be on mute. I will randomly select a committee member to move an action item. This does not mean you support the item, but you just move it to get it onto the floor. To facilitate voting, we will do a negative vote. I will ask if anyone is opposed to an action item, and I will ask that you only speak up if you are opposed or if you have any questions or parliamentary inquiries. Now, moving on to item two on the agenda, approval of the agenda, I am going to have Trustee Buck move that motion. Are there any questions about the agenda? I'll let anyone speak up if there are any questions. Hearing none, is anyone opposed to approving the agenda? Hearing none as well, I'm going to move on to item three, as the approval of the agenda has been approved by Trustee Buck. Item three is a consent item, so we just need to confirm that we're consenting to the item in front of us. Updates to procedures under the communications and community engagement and human resources policies. I'm going to turn to Associate Director Sovereign for some information on this before we consent to that item. Peter?
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. So as it is a consent item, if there are any trustees that wish to lift the item onto the agenda, and then ask questions from that, that's how we would proceed.
Very good. I trust that my colleagues have had an opportunity to look at that consent item in the agenda. I don't think I'll be doing a roll call for this one. I think I'll open it up to the three other committee members on the line to see if there is a desire to put that on the agenda as an item to discuss for any questions that we may have.
Trustee Galindo, it's Trustee Danko. I am interested in learning a bit about the flag display procedure that is new, so I would like to put it on the agenda.
Very good. Hearing that Trustee Danko would like to move that item three be placed on the agenda as a discussion item, is anyone opposed? Hearing that no one is opposed, let's make it a discussion item on the agenda. We'll keep it as item 3, maybe 3.1, as a discussion piece if necessary. And I'll turn again to Associate Director Sovereign for perhaps a brief overview of what this consent item is, specifically the procedures under communication and community engagement and human resources policy. And if you're able to speak to the item that Trustee Danko just alluded to as well regarding the flag-raising procedure. Is that correct, Trustee Danko?
Yes, the flag display procedure.
Very good. Thank you.
I would love to learn a little bit about, an overview of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, I'll turn to you, Associate Director Sauber, and then we'll go to committee members for any further questions or points of clarification. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Trustee Danko. So the flag display procedure is associated with community engagement policy 1.2, and it simply outlines when flags would be, what flags would be flown and where, and at what point are flags flown at half mast. The reason behind the procedure is simply to have consistency across the district when it comes to displays of respect or acknowledgement, whether it is raising a particular flag or lowering the flag out of respect or in terms of commemorating a particular occasion. Back to you, Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Associate Director Sovereign. So if I could perhaps help clarify, it sounds like up to this point we didn't have a formal procedure in place for who decides when a flag is lowered. My understanding is that it would either be up to the individual principals at each school or the system director for all flags at our school board. My understanding would be that we're formalizing this as a procedure. Is that correct?
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. In the past, there's always been a protocol, and the protocol is now been formalized into a procedure, and I'll just remind committee members that a few years ago there was direction from the policy committee and supported by the board to make as many protocols that existed within the board public facing in terms of procedures. And that every procedure should be associated with a specific policy, and that on a cyclical basis, typically once a year, all procedures that fall under the pillar policies would be brought forward to trustees in a summary document like the one that you see before you. So in terms of displaying flags, there was always a protocol that was followed. It wasn't public-facing, and therefore it wasn't named as a procedure. What you see before you here is the prior protocol cleaned up and formalized in terms of a procedure and associated with policy 1.2.
Beautiful. Thank you. At this point, I'm going to turn to my committee member colleagues to see if there are any questions, and I'm going to go in reverse order. I'm going to start with Trustee Miller. Do you have any questions about that?
I do not have any further questions about the flag policy, but I would like clarification on another item. So I'm happy to leave that for later if we're still talking about the flag policy.
Okay. Maybe I'll come back around if that's okay. Trustee Danko, did you have any further questions about the flag policy specifically?
About the procedure, I guess maybe a comment, and I appreciate the work that staff have been doing to move protocols into procedures because that is more transparent and easier for community members and our school communities to understand what we do as a procedure. Given this one is about respect. It is sometimes that can look different to different cultures or different groups. Would it be fair to say that through the previous protocol and through the procedure that we now follow, that although we didn't do formal consultation as we would for a policy, that we have gotten feedback from different groups that might be impacted?
I'll turn to Associate Director Sovereign.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. So as you've correctly identified, we don't consult on procedures. The fact that this particular procedure does fall under the policy with respect to engagement. When we do our survey, our broader surveys, we do try and grab as much information as possible from communities, from our families, in terms of, you know, what is important to them. And that would then go through through a procedure such as this in terms of equity, and I'll leave it at that.
Any further questions, Trustee Danko, about that procedure?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll turn to Trustee Buck for any questions regarding the flag-raising procedure.
Okay, thank you very much, Trustee Galindo. So I am a little bit curious about this one. If Trustee Danko hadn't have brought it forward, I was moments away from bringing it up myself. I just, I'm looking currently at our policy online regarding community engagement. And I'm sorry, this is my my newness to this role kind of showing through. I don't see anything listed here about flag raising. So is this something that will be reflected in the policy to state that there's a procedure related to it in the future?
Maybe I'll tag on to that as well, Associate Director Sovereign. Do we often display procedures on our website? I'm understanding that it's mostly policies that would be listed, right? But perhaps I'll get you to provide some clarification on that, please.
Yeah, thank you. And actually to both questions. So, some time ago, through the direction of the Policy Committee, we have moved towards providing all of our procedures to be public-facing, and that, in addition, all procedures that are public-facing would have to be associated with a policy. Policy is the purview of the Policy Committee and trustees. Procedures would be operationalizing items associated with a particular policy. And so we don't necessarily have a one-to-one policy to procedure. In fact, you will see in other places where we have an overarching policy and then several associated procedures. That is, you know, again, to simplify the policies remaining at a macro level, with procedures providing the operational details. So that is why you don't see a flag display policy, but the policy associated with this as a best fit would be in terms of community engagement. So the principles that are in the community engagement policy would flow through to this particular procedure. If trustees wish to have a separate policy, then we could certainly go through the policy creation process.
Noted. Thank you. And I assume that we'll be updating our website soon after we've consented to this item as well. I'll turn back to Trustee Buck to see if she has any further questions for clarification on that topic.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. So I've actually had just a number of months ago, a community group reached out to me asking about having their flag raised. And I just wanted to know, with the flag display procedure now being connected with our community engagement policy, what that would mean for groups who are in the future looking to have their flag raised at one of our schools or buildings.
Associate Director?
Would it essentially be the same process, or what changes could we anticipate on the ground?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Trustee Beck, and I would just point to, in the procedure, 3.4, which identifies other cultural or other significant flags that requests can be made through the director's office, which would consult with the equity team. And then there's an entire other section, 4.0, around flag requests. So it's outlined here in, you know, some bit of detail around how requests can be made for flags to be displayed.
Thank you, Associate Director. Trustee Buck, any further questions or clarification points?
No, that is it for me. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll go through the list again of folks on the line to see if there are any other questions regarding this consent item. I'll go back to Trustee Miller. I believe that you had a question.
I did. I wanted just some clarification around the point here on the use of service animals by the general public procedure. And I can see that it's noted here that we've updated to align it with the ministry memo, PPM 163. So if I could just... Can I get a rundown of what it was and what that looks like for our, what this update actually means for our implementation?
Yeah, I think I'll turn to Associate Director Sovereign again to answer that question. I know it's one that should be top of mind with this policy or procedure.
Thank you, Trustee Moore, for the question. So, in this particular category, this is use of service animals, not by students, but by individuals who would actually be coming on to board property. And so the update that has been made here is with respect to any of the directives that we've been provided by the ministry. I can't speak directly right now to what it was before, but I can certainly get that information and bring it back.
I think I'll also provide some clarification because we do have a procedure for service animals being used by students, and I believe that can be found under safety and well-being pillar number 5 under medical health supports 5.5. Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong as well. That was last updated in 2019, and the procedure was brought forward at this meeting, or rather the procedure that's being brought forward at this meeting right now is associated with the communication and community engagement piece only, not for service animals being brought to school by students. Is that correct?
Thanks, Trustee Glendale. Yes, that is correct, that if you look under the pillar 5.0, which deals with safety and well-being, you'll see that there is a student use of guide dogs and service animals procedure that was updated earlier this year, and that pertains to students only.
Perfect. Thank you for the
clarification. Bit confusing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that it's a bit confusing because they are in two separate places, but they do speak to two different elements, one where we'd have anyone utilizing a service animal for onto board property, and then this one very specific to students, which obviously would be down to the classroom level.
Perfect. Thanks for that clarification piece. I'll turn back to Trustee Miller to see if that answers her question or if she has any further questions or clarification points.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go back to Trustee Danko.
Thank you. I had asked about that one earlier and understand the difference. I appreciate that came up. I apologize, but I've just got to go back to the flag display procedure because I've been looking through different policies that it might fall under, and I'm not clear on how we landed on community engagement because when we read the rationale for the flag display procedure, it really seems to align more closely with the equity and inclusion policy 5.4. It doesn't fit perfectly under either, but just curious how it landed under community engagement.
I'll turn to Associate Director for that question.
Thank you. I can't speak to why it landed in this versus the other. I know that when we embarked on looking at all of our protocols, flipping them into procedures, if they didn't, if they weren't already associated with the policy, then we did go through an internal process where we tried, you know, our best fits. There's always room for, you know, different interpretation. I'm going to ask Mark, who's on the line, because he would have been involved at that time with some of the mapping that we did with former protocols when we turned them into procedures, if you know, Mark.
Thanks, Peter. My understanding is the reason that it fell under communications and community engagement is because a lot of the flags that we do raise are done in partnership with other groups, such as a rainbow flag, a transgender flag. So I think that was more the
lens. Mark, I am going to cut you off there for a second. We're having a bit of difficulty hearing you. Is there a way to move the microphone closer to? Is that okay? Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. Is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Sorry. So I was just saying the reason I feel it falls under that category is because a lot of the flags that we do display are done in partnership with other groups, such as a rainbow flag, the transgender flag, and a lot of requests that we get for raising flags come from groups that we have through partnerships and through our engagement department. So I think that was the thinking of it's more where the requests are coming from as opposed to looking at it from an internal lens, but more from the external lens of where the requests are coming from. That's my understanding.
Perhaps I'll turn back to Trustee Danko to see if that answers our question.
Thank you. I did anticipate that. I just want to flag the second line in the rationale is that the flag procedure is aligned with and supports the principles and expectations of all equity, safe schools, and well-being policies, as well as items in the Human Rights Code. So I believe it was staff maybe just to consider if that is the best place for this to exist. It seems reading through it that perhaps equity and inclusion would be a more appropriate place, but as long as we have the procedure and it is public facing, I'm fine with it as it is for now. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll leave that with staff, and I'll turn to Trustee Buck to see if she has any other questions as well.
I have no further questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any questions myself either. So I think we're done with discussion item number three, the consent item.
Sorry, Cam.
Sorry, go ahead.
Cam.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, if I may, I would actually like to echo what Trustee Danko just said. I think, although I absolutely appreciate what Mark just clarified for us regarding that it was through the community engagement channels that it made sense to kind of frame it under there. I'm curious if down the line, to me, this is still kind of an issue of representation and equity, and if down the line, theoretically, we stopped receiving vocal requests from the community for specific flags, I still think it's a representation issue at the more central point to it. I don't think it necessarily should be tied to whether or not we're receiving specific requests from community members. I think it's really just should be applied in terms of an equity and a representation and a diversity lens. So I just wanted to make that comment. It doesn't need to be a question, but thank you.
Okay, and perhaps I'll turn to staff one last time to see if they had any further comments to make on that matter.
No, we'll take it away and discuss it at Executive Council and see whether or not there's an agreement that it's a better fit somewhere else. So happy to take that away.
Sounds good to me, and maybe I'll bring it back to my colleagues again. Are there any further questions on that consent item? Hearing none, we're going to move on to action item number 4, which is an action item, Occupational Health and Safety Annual Review. We're going to turn to Associate Director Sovereign for that discussion, but I think, Trustee Danko, if it's okay with you, I'll have you move that item when it gets to that point. Associate Director?
Great. Thank you, Trustee Galindo. And before you are two policies, Policy 4.3, Occupational Health and Safety, and Policy 4.9, Workplace Violence and Harassment Prevention. In both cases, the reason they're before you is that it is mandated by legislation that they be reviewed on an annual basis. The recommendation is that both be approved by the board, and in both instances there were minor changes made to the policies reflecting changes that have come from various areas within the provincial government. While some of the policy does flow from education, much of the policies flow from other areas of the province. And this is, these two policies, I should say, also are reviewed by the Central Joint Occupational Health and Safety Committee, which is comprised of staff and union partners. And so these policies have gone there. The changes have been reviewed. And what you see before you are their recommendations. So back to you, Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Associate Director Sovereign. So recognizing that the policy reviews are two separate items on the agenda, I'll still do questions for one item and then questions for the next item, and we'll have Trustee Miller move item number 5 when we get to it. So with regards to the policy review for occupational health and safety, the annual review that is being brought forward by Trustee Danko as the chair of the motion, I'll go through the list to see if there are any questions, and we're going to start with Trustee Buck. Trustee Buck, do you have any questions about item number 4?
No, I don't at this time.
Thank you. I'll turn to Trustee Danko. Do you have any questions about that item?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. My question is about employee reporting, and so there's reference to incident reports, or in some ways to incidents. And it has a worker who performs things, but there isn't any action or intended outcome around employee reporting of incidents, and that is an important part of monitoring and reducing incidents because it helps us to identify where there may be a safety issue in the workplace. So I'm curious to know, and I recognize this comes up annually and has been through a good process and a number of groups to review it. I'm curious to know what, from staff's perspective, why we don't reference employee incident reporting here.
Thank you, Trustee. I'll turn to the Associate Director.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. Just looking to where in the policy you would see employee reporting, and perhaps that might help in terms of the response.
I'll turn back to Trustee Danko.
So I don't explicitly see employee reporting. I see a reference to incidents, and of course there's a reference to incident reports in identified categories in the assessment section, the second section of the table. So I just with it referencing incident reports, I know in other workplaces, incident reporting is part of what the policy involves. It's promoting incident reporting. It's tracking incident reports. So it looks as though our assessment does involve reviewing and comparing year-over-year incident reports. I'm just curious to know where we would be encouraging employees to actually log or submit incident reports, and perhaps that sits somewhere else or it's in a procedure.
Director. Thank you. So I would take us back to the guiding principles, and I think overarching around, you know, promoting and encouraging safe and healthy work environments within the industry standards, I think is that again, overarching statements that captures the notion that if, you know, one is to have a safe and healthy work environment, that would include reporting incidents that, you know, were concerning. Specific to the policy, it's not named that individuals would have that responsibility, but within the procedure, it would be broken down for each one of the various employee groups.
Okay, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Thank you, Trustee Danko, and I'll turn to Trustee Miller again. Any questions or points of clarifications for item number 4, Occupational Health and Safety, the annual review?
I think I'm okay at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I'll generally ask, are there any further questions about item 4, occupational health and safety, from my trustee colleagues? If there are none, then I will ask if anyone is opposed to moving forward with the recommended action items for policy number 4.3, which is item number 4 on the agenda, occupational health and safety, the annual review. Anyone opposed? Hearing that no one is opposed, we have approved the motion by Trustee Danko. Now, moving on to item number 5 on the agenda, I believe, Peter, you spoke to it already, the Workplace Violence and Harassment Prevention Annual Review. I'll actually turn to Associate Director Sovereign again. Was there anything else that you wanted to add for that policy 4.9, which is action item number 5 on the agenda? Anything else that you wanted to add, Peter?
No, nothing else.
Thank you. I'll now turn to my colleagues to see if there are any questions with regards to the Workplace Violence and Harassment Prevention annual review. I'll start with Trustee Miller.
I have no questions at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a quick note, Trustee Miller is moving that motion. if approved. I'm going to turn to Trustee Danko to see if you have any questions.
No, thank you. No questions.
Thank you. And now turning to Trustee Buck to see if you have any questions on item number 5 on the agenda.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. I also don't have any questions about the reviews. They seem pretty straightforward. So what I'll do now is I'll look to see if anyone is opposed to approving the item number 5 on the agenda, Workplace Violence and Harassment Prevention Annual Review. Is anyone opposed to approving that recommendation? Hearing that no one is opposed, Trustee Miller's motion has passed to move ahead with item number 5, which brings us to, I think, the biggest item of all, item number 6, adjournment. I think I'm going to have Trustee Danko, perhaps. I'll have you move that motion. This concludes our meeting. Is anyone opposed to Trustee Danko's motion to adjourn the meeting? Hearing none, meeting is officially adjourned. Thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Have a good
night.
Have a good
night.
Thank
you, Peter, Mark.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Becky Butt.
Left.
Maria Felix Miller.
Left.
Peter Sovran.
Left.
Dawn.
Left.
Trustee Cam Glenn.
Left.
Mark.
Left.
Tracy McKillop.
Left.